The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to our study on the Apostles' Creed. And today, we're going to be looking at the portion of the Creed that says, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So let's open up with a word of prayer and get into it. God, thank you. Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts to hear what you have to say. God, that you will focus our attention on this, because the virgin birth is a vital part of our faith. So God, bless us now as we dig in. Thanks, God. In your name. Amen. Let's go back and reread the Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead on the third day, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So, let's be honest. This is one of those lines of the Creed that people read and quietly think, okay, that sounds important, but it's also kind of mysterious. You know, conceived of the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. It's not something you hear every day. And if we're not careful, we can treat it like just another part of the Christmas story, or a detail in the Nativity story. But this is not just a detail. This is doctrine. And it answers the huge question, how did God come into the world? Imagine trying to explain electricity to somebody. You flip a switch, light comes on, they say, wow, how'd that work? You say, well, there's current, and there's wiring in the walls, and power flowing. And eventually they say, okay, I don't fully understand it, but I believe it because I see the result. And that's how this works. We may not fully understand the miracle, but we can understand what it means. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. First of all, you need to know this was a supernatural act of God, work of God. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Now, there's a lot there to unpack, because believe it or not, there's a lot here. So let's look into it. First of all, Jesus' birth was not ordinary. Okay? This is not something that happens, you know, once a year, once a week, once a year, once a millennium. It's happened once ever. It was miraculous. It was not human effort. This was divine intervention. This is God coming to our earth in human form in a way that nobody could see coming. So why does that matter? See, this is one of those details we look at and say, okay, yeah, I believe in the virgin birth. I just don't know why it's important. Well, because salvation doesn't come from human effort. It comes from God stepping in. And this is important, because we're going to talk about Jesus being fully man and fully God. So we have to get to the fully God part first, and that is the fact that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. If you ever tried fixing something beyond your ability, you know the feeling. You try, you adjust, you watch a YouTube video. I do that a lot. You try again, and then you realize, this is beyond me. I'm trying to work on my 3D printer. You can see it there over my shoulder. It's worked once, and it hasn't worked since. And so I'm emailing people in China, trying to explain to me in English how to troubleshoot a printer that doesn't work. But see, sin is not something we can fix ourselves. We don't have the ability. We don't have the wherewithal. God had to step in. We needed God to step in. And that's exactly what he did in the nativity. That's exactly what he did here. God the Father sent God the Son to earth, still fully God, retaining his godhood, and he became a man, just like us. So let's look at that first part. Jesus is fully God. Because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is not just human, he's fully divine. Look at John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you ever try to speak to like a Jehovah Witness or some people, maybe I think it's the Oneness people also, they'll skirt around this. Actually, if you talk to the Jehovah Witness, they'll use their version of the Bible, which totally rewords this, which doesn't even conform to Greek. In the beginning, the Word already existed. That's God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So, here's something you need to grab onto. First of all, Jesus did not begin at Bethlehem. He existed eternally, just like his Father God. Just like the Holy Spirit. He was always there. He existed eternally. I got ahead of myself. Okay? And Bethlehem is where he entered the world, not where he began. Bethlehem is where he stepped into our timeline. Because he doesn't have a timeline. He's eternal. So Bethlehem is where Jesus was born. His human form. Not where his spiritual being was. Okay? Think of it like this. When an author writes himself into his own story, he doesn't begin when he appears in the story. I write a column. In fact, I've got a book coming out in October, a devotional book. A lot of those are my stories. In fact, the majority of them are my stories. But I didn't begin when I wrote that column. I was already there for quite a while, actually. I already existed outside of the story. That's what God did in Jesus. Look, this means that Jesus has the power to save because he is God. This is vital to our salvation story. That Jesus didn't come into existence when he was born. That was just the human form that he took. He existed eternally, and because he existed eternally, he has the power to save us. And if we miss that fact, then his death on the cross means nothing. He's just another guy that died on the cross. Oh, well, a lot of people died on the cross. Probably thousands. So let's get in a little more. Jesus is fully human. Now, the fact that he was God is important, but the fact that he was human is just as important. He was born of the Virgin Mary. That means that Jesus was truly human. Okay, so we're okay with that. I hope. But there's still the question, okay, Jerry, but why does it matter? Why did Jesus have to become human? Here's why. Because to represent us, he had to become one of us. Hebrews 4:15 says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. He was tested. He hurt. He cried, just like we do. Hebrews 4:15, I read that, I'm sorry. Have you ever tried to get advice from someone who doesn't clearly understand your situation? They mean well. But they may be thinking, you know what? I have no idea what you're dealing with. That's never true of Jesus. He understands pain, temptation, fatigue, rejection. He's been there. Look at that list. That's the stuff we face every day. Those are things that we go through all the time. Jesus understands them. Why? Because he went through them. Now do you see why him being fully human is so important to us? Again, because if Jesus had any advantage on his human side that we don't have, again, his death on the cross probably doesn't mean anything to us. But he, as Hebrews 4:15 says, but he didn't sin. Okay, here's the truth of that. Jesus is not distant from your struggle. In fact, he stepped into it. I personally don't think I would leave heaven. That sounds pretty good up there. I don't think I'd leave heaven to come down here. Would you want to be a baby again? A child? Maybe a child, maybe an 8-year-old. But I don't want to go through puberty again. I don't want to go through those early stages of becoming an adult. That just sounds exhausting. So he became fully human and he understands us. Why do both of those matter? Well, here's a big theological truth. Jesus had to be both fully God and fully man. Why? If he was only a man, he couldn't save us. If you're only God, he couldn't represent us. Does that make sense? He had to be both. Think of a bridge. A bridge, by definition, has to connect both sides. If it only goes halfway, it's useless. Jesus connects God and man. That's vital for us. Look at 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He's the bridge between God and us. Why? Because he spanned both sides. He spanned the fully God and the fully man, just like us. Or he became just like us. I want you to look at this. The humility of the incarnation. Don't miss this. Because we do the Christmas story. Oh, it's cute. Little baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Oh, wait. But God didn't enter this world in power and spectacle. He came as a baby. Think of that. A little helpless baby. He had to go through what I call the fuzzy pumper barbershop of the birth canal. Remember the Play-Doh fuzzy pumper barbershop. You try saying that fast. You know, he had to go through that. And then he came in totally dependent. The creator of the universe entered creation as someone who needed to be fed, held, and cared for. That is humility. Think about this. The one who created the stars was wrapped in swaddling clothes. The one who spoke the universe into existence cried in a manger. That is a level of humility that we can't relate to. I cannot relate to somebody leaving the splendor of heaven and becoming a tiny, helpless baby. Look at Philippians 2:6-8. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Think about all that that took. He left the splendor of heaven. And what does Philippians say? Didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he left that, became a baby. A baby who was enslaved in a country, by the way. And he humbled himself in obedience, even to death on the cross. I can't imagine that. If Jesus humbled himself like that, what does that say about how we should live? Take a moment to let that sink in. If Jesus was willing to leave heaven to become a person, a human, so that we could be saved, if he did that in humility, what does that say about how we should live? You know, I was a district youth director in the harbor area in San Pedro when I was youth pastor there. And I got a phone call from a pastor who said, I'm looking for a youth pastor. Well, I knew he had one because I just talked to the guy. And I said, well, what happened to this guy? And he said, well, I fired him. What? So we started talking. Actually, the kid had called me first. And he said, hey, I got fired. So I called the pastor. I had this story mixed up. So anyway, I talked to the pastor and he says, well, the kid said he needed to make more money. And he was a youth pastor. We all needed to make more money. And I said, okay. He said, well, I said, the church couldn't afford to give him more, but the church had a school. And he said, I told him, you can become a playground supervisor, and that'll give you some extra money from the school. And the youth pastor looked him dead in the eyes and said, I'm sorry, that's beneath me. The pastor said, well, I wrote him his check. Now, here's the thing. When I got the call from the young man originally, I was up to my elbows in changing the radiator on the church van. Was that beneath me? No, I needed that van to pick up kids for my youth group. Church couldn't afford to fix it, so I did. So I called the young man back and I said, what's wrong with you? There's nothing beneath someone in the ministry. Not a ministerial job. God came near us. I mean, if he humbled himself like that, there's nothing beneath us. All right, so let's go on. I already messed it up anyway. God came near. This is the heart of the doctrine. God didn't stay distant. He came close. Imagine somebody shouting instructions to you from the distance while you're struggling. Now imagine that same person stepping into the situation with you. You're working on your car. You're trying to tune. Now, this is an old phrase for some of you that are too young to understand. Cars used to have what's called a carburetor, and it mixed the fuel and the air, and that's how the car goes. Carburetor, I think, is in God's world, is French. Carburetor is a French word for leave it the heck alone, because to me, a carburetor is a mystery. So imagine if I'm working on my car, and my neighbor across the street is yelling at me from the other side, take the mixture screw and just turn it a quarter turn. What? What's the mixture screw? I don't know where the mixture screw is. This thing is French. It's foreign. But imagine if he came over and stood next to me and said, all right, see that screw there? That's the mixture screw. Turn that just a quarter of a turn. How helpful would that be? Imagine God stepping into the situations you face, because that's exactly what God did. Look at Matthew 1:23. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He's not standing across the street, or he's not up in heaven shouting, I want you to turn the mixture screw one quarter inch. No. He's right there beside us. But I'm not sure God can help us fix carburetors. Understand, God is not far away. He's with us. He's with us. He's right there beside us. So let's bring it all together. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. What does that mean for us? This means that Jesus is fully God, Jesus is fully man, and Jesus came to save us. I like this story. Story of a man who saw ants outside in the snow during winter. They were freezing. They're struggling, they're dying, and he felt compassion for them. I've never had a lot of compassion for ants. Okay. So he tried to help. He brushed them towards shelter, but they scattered. He tried to guide them, but they didn't understand. And then he realized the only way to help them would be to become one of them. And that's what God did. He didn't shout instructions from heaven. He stepped into our world. Did he have to do this? No. Yes. He didn't have to because of any rule. He had to because of his love for us. Knowing that we could not save ourselves, thanks Adam and Eve, knowing that we could not save ourselves, he had to send his son to die for us. Because Jesus became human, you're not alone in your struggle. Because Jesus is God, you're not without hope. That's huge. When life feels overwhelming, when you feel misunderstood, when you wonder if God really sees you, just remember, he stepped into your world. See, when we really look at the incarnation, that's what we call Jesus coming to the earth. When we really look at the incarnation, it becomes apparent pretty quickly that something special happened here. Something that we don't understand fully, but it means everything to us. The fact that you can say, God, please forgive me my sins, all started with that baby in that manger. The fact that you know that Christ died for you, all happened in that manger. It all happened because of the incarnation. If Jesus never humbles himself and comes to earth, nothing else happens. And remember, because he's fully God and fully man, fully God gives him the power to save us. Fully man gives him the power to relate to us. We can never pray and say, God, you just don't understand what I'm going through. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. Let's get our heads around this concept. Because everything else we talk about and everything we've talked about already really buys into this, really is based on this. So here are some discussion questions for you. Short one today. Why is it important that Jesus is both fully God and fully man? Why should that matter to you? How does the incarnation change the way you view God? Hopefully now you'll be able to take a second look at it and think, wow, that there's really more there than I thought. And what does it mean to you personally that Jesus understands your struggles? Seems like the number three is always the hard one, isn't it? This is where it really comes down to it. What does it mean to you personally? Because again, all of these concepts and all these things we're going to talk about, they can all be viewed from afar. Oh yes, I believe that God did that. But what does it mean to you personally? That God understands your struggles, your financial woes, your job demands, all the things that you have going on, what it's like to have to raise kids. I look at Jesus raising the disciples, I figure he raised a bunch of kids because they were wild. And finally, how should Christ's humanity shape the way we live? Knowing all of this about Christ, what he was willing to give up and come to and then suffer for us, knowing all of that, how should we live? How should that shape the way we live? It's huge. It really is. Next week, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And trust me, you do not want to miss next week because it's powerful. Not to toot my own horn. Okay? Let's pray. God, thank you for your grace. Wow. The fact that you sent your son to come to earth and become like one of us, to go through struggles like we do, to hurt like we do, to grow like we do. God, that means so much. Father, thanks. God, I pray that this week you would let us chew on the incarnation and what it means to us personally and what it means to us as Christians. God, you're so good. So good, Father. Thanks, God. We love you. We ask it in your name. Amen. Think about this all week. Don't slight it. Think about it.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You build a mighty fortress, 10,000 birds.